Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. I'm your co-host, Steve Kim, and joining me from the beautiful city of San Francisco, where he left his heart, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya, and Mr. Montoya, it is the end of Darktober.
Yeah, it's Halloween, but nothing was scarier than a world without boxing. That was Darktober, as you put it. Man, I'm just glad it's over. HBO was lucky that they came out with Westworld this last month, or otherwise I'd have been off the boat completely. Happy Monday, Steve.
Yeah, a lot more tricks than treat, but that ends this weekend. But before we get into all that, again, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll take your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes. Again, 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a question or comment via Twitter, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. We are here for at least 90 minutes. And we have extra championship bonus rounds going all the way up to 9 p.m. Eastern time. This is episode 603 of the next round with Gabriel Montoya and Steve Kimball. Let's get started with round number one from the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. It is, well, don't call it a comeback. Literally, don't. It's the return of Manny Pacquiao fighting for the WBO welterweight title against incumbent champion Jesse Vargas. And also on this top-ranked produced and distributed pay-per-view, your semi-main is for the WBO featherweight title, making his first title defense. Oscar Valdez takes on Hiroshige Osana. And then for the WBO junior featherweight title, the Filipino Flash, Nonito Donair, takes on Jesse Magdaleno. And then Zhao Xiaoming kicks off this card. Gabe, how much of a shot are you giving Jesse Vargas not to win the fight? Let's not even go that far. How much of a shot do you have in your mind that he'll make it at least somewhat competitive and provide some moments?
Oh, I think he'll definitely make for an action fight. And I have to wonder, I'd love to ask Bruce Trampler about this. How much do they want to get Pacquiao a knockout? Is that part of the, you know, the menu when they're looking at things? Is that number one? Is that number two? Does it just need to be on the list? Because I think Jesse brings a lot of things. He brings good defense. He's rangy. He's game. He's had a million trainers, but he seems to be really happy with his latest one, Dewey Cooper. We'll see how they are if they lose. But you know, he doesn't bring a lot of pop, and so he has to bring volume. And with that approach, with those two things, no pop and a volume attack, that opens the door for Pacquiao to get his first knockout in many, many years. I'm looking for an exciting action fight. I think that's what we're going to get, and maybe a late stoppage by Pacquiao.
All I want to see from Jesse Vargas is one thing and one thing only, and that is do not settle for going the distance and do not believe that is some sort of moral victory that you can build upon. If I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If he comes out of this fight with a broken hand or a blown-out rotator cuff from winging so many hard, wild shots, Gabe, I will respect that because there's way too much of, well, I went the distance, and that's great. I was looking out for my safety. I'm like, you know what? This is boxing. This is what you chose to do. No guts, no glory. If you want to make history, you have to be willing to risk a little bit of yourself. And if Jesse Vargas wants to be a little bit more than what he is, not just a known fighter, but a star. What Adrian Broner did not do, he did in accepting this assignment. That's step one. Step two now is what you said. It kind of goes to your point. To beat a guy like Manny Pacquiao, it's like going through a wall of flames. You got to walk through that fire. You have to understand, there's going to be a torrent of leather coming back at you, and you got to be willing to walk through it and to sacrifice a little bit of yourself. And, you know, Jesse Vargas, I know you can't teach power, but I do think you've got a little bit more stout right hand under the stewardship of Dewey Cooper. And I think Dewey Cooper, I think that is the right jockey for that horse. Listen, I think there's going to be some fireworks. I think it'll be fun. The question is, will there actually be two-way action? Will there be real volleying? Will there be real back-and-forthing? And can he overcome the overall firepower and then the foot speed and the movement of Manny Pacquiao if Pacquiao wants to play a little four corners? But I do think Manny Pacquiao, he is a favorite for a reason. Those guys in Vegas aren't often wrong. And let's face it, Gabe, the real reason why Vargas got this fight is a couple of reasons. Number one, he's under the promotional banner of Bob Arum in Top Rank. And number two, example number 839,643, that belts matter. He's got a WBO welterweight title. And I do believe that Pacquiao, this will not be his last fight. He's got at least one more fight left on this contract with Bob Arum. And Bob Arum either wants A, the Mayweather rematch, or a star-making opportunity for Terrence Crawford. So I would say, just my opinion, Gabe, he fits that risk-reward ratio. He fills in all the boxes.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he's 5'10", he's got a 71-inch reach. So he's got some height and reach on Pacquiao, but I don't think he's the fastest guy in the world. He's interesting, Jesse. He's gone through a lot of trainers. He's almost like a De La Hoya, and that's where he was. He was with Roger Mayweather, but he was developed by Golden Boy. Then he went to Top Rank. But he's been with, like, I think five or six trainers now. And, you know, it all seems to coalesce with Dewey Cooper. And everything comes off the jab. He's always had good combinations, but missing a jab where he'd disappear in fights, kind of putting his offense on layaway. And like with Tim Bradley, I thought he just came on way too late. What Vargas needs to do is set the tempo, come downhill on Manny Pacquiao, and tame that speed with the jab. Be the taller man. Use all his attributes. And I think he can make a real go of this fight. But the speed deficit, the experience, and the fact that, you know, honestly, I'm one of those people, like, we've talked about this. I like seeing Manny Pacquiao fight. I'm not done seeing Manny Pacquiao fight. And I don't feel that he's this completely shot guy. I don't see it. I think he can, you know, he's not the guy that knocked out Ricky Hatton, but that was great matchmaking, and that was a great moment. And it was a guy coming off another knockout loss and not looking too good after that. So we'll see. But that's my pick. I have this a feeling about it that Manny at least puts him down once or gets him late, that this might be the right guy for him.
If I'm not mistaken, Gabe, I believe the Hatton fight was his last at 140. And since that point in 2009, he has faced some big, strong, rugged, durable 47-pounders. I've always thought that whole dynamic's been a little bit overrated about the supposed disappearing power of Manny Pacquiao. But, Gabe, I'm surprised. Here's my issue with Pacquiao. I still think he's very good. And is he the same guy he was 5-6 years ago? No, of course not. But it reminds me of that line from Eric Dickerson late in his career. He said, "Have I lost a step?" And he goes, "Yeah, but it's a step most people never had." I think that's Manny Pacquiao. But I still think with a lot of the public that there is a scorn or a certain bad residue that exists from May 2nd, 2015, where he basically cashed it in and laid up against Floyd Mayweather and basically was in on the scam. And I think that is where some of the animosity comes in. And Manny Pacquiao, to me, is about 85 to 90% of what he once was, which is still very, very formidable. But I have to admit, it's not quite as entertaining at this stage as it was back in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, when he was an absolute whirlwind and a force of nature. Gabe, will youth be served in the Magdaleno fight, or will Donaire hold off the Young Turk? I think this is a very, very intriguing fight.
Oh, I love this fight, man. I don't know. You know, I was talking to Dave about it before the show, and I mean, Donaire, he seems to me that he's been fighting a little more often. He fought three times in 2015. And, you know, since his loss to Nicholas Walters, he's been super active. And then he fought again, you know, this last April. And he looks like he's getting in better shape with each fight and getting a little sharper. That dude, I mean, he reminded me of the Great White Hype when I saw him preparing for Rigo. He was wearing the cup protector. And for, you know, a lower weight class guy to have a fat roll over the top of it, I was like, what is going on here? Like, you know, round is a shape. But now he looks good. And I think he's got experience. If he's got his legs under him, Donaire, with that in-and-out attack style and the kind of explosive punching that he has, he could be very, very dangerous and win this fight by sudden knockout. It's on Magdaleno to make that not happen.
I saw Magdaleno two Fridays ago at The Rock in Carson. I don't think he's ever been in this good a shape so far off from a fight. They've hired a nutritionist, a dietitian. He's no longer in Coachella/India, where he was absolutely miserable. It just was not working out with Joel Diaz. Seems to have found some sort of chemistry with Manuel Robles. He's a happy fighter, which generally means is a productive fighter. But I just wonder, does Donaire still have too many weapons? If there is a guy in this fight that has the proverbial eraser, and that is Nonito Donaire with that lethal left hook, I think this is probably the best pay-per-view undercard fight, I would say, since Garcia Matisse back in 2013. I hope this is a growing trend with Bob Arum and all the promoters in these type of settings. Donaire Magdaleno. Gabe, I'm going to go with the chalk, and I'm going to go with the veteran experience. I'm going to go with Donaire, but unlike De La Hoya, I wouldn't bet my house on it.
Yeah, I'm going Donaire. I'm going Donaire decision. But Magdaleno is going to make it a war, and he's going to have to. And I think that we need to find out how durable Nonito is. He's got a lot of miles on him for a smaller weight class guy. He's been stopped before. So it's on Magdaleno to take him to that place, get him to the ropes, keep him in the corner. But I have a feeling about Nonito that he's righted the ship enough to get the job done here.
Yeah, it was alarming how much leather he ate against Cesar Juarez back last December. And he explained to me that, Steve, first round or second round, I sprained my ankle. I couldn't move. Then in his last fight against Zolt Didak, I thought he looked much more like vintage Filipino Flash. Now, again, matchmaking is everything, but this is the intrigue. Is the old lion ready to be pushed off his perch? Just how ready is Magdaleno for this big stage? Keep this in mind. Magdaleno's in great shape, but Gabe, it's been a very, very long time since he actually made 122. And listen, you talk to fighters and combat athletes, they'll tell you a month out, I'm feeling great, and the trainers will say, he's looking great, right? When you're about 10 to 15 pounds over the actual weight class, then you start cutting weight, you're not that guy anymore. That's the reality of combat sports. Gabe, Oscar Valdez, I think, is an absolute blue chipper. I still kind of consider him more of a young prospect that just happens to have a belt, but I would buy stock in his future if I could, like Apple back in 1995. I have a sense this is classic Top Rank matchmaking. Showcase appearance, make him look good, and let's start building this guy into a real star. I know Bob Arum is very, very bullish on young Valdez.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's getting a 31-year-old guy, you know, that's fighting on the road. I think this might be his first appearance in the States, and that usually says you're going to be a highlight reel. I like Valdez a lot, man. Manny Robles has really done a great job with him, and they're smoothing out the edges, and you can see him get a little more relaxed in there, a little more fluid, not so squared up on the inside. That's one of the things I worry about with him. And his jab has a tendency to disappear, but he rips to the body and fights and, you know, throws in combination very, very well. And I think he's got legit power. I mean, 18 knockouts and 20 wins. Granted, I'm sure a lot of those were for him, you know, were on the house. But still, I think it's legit. So this will be, like you said, probably like 5-6 rounds, and Valdez gets him out of there, if not sooner.
I've covered Valdez very, very closely since the beginning of his career, and I can honestly say this. I call him the anti-Frankie Gomez. This is a young man that has conducted himself as a professional who's doing it for the right reasons, besides just money, who has a passion for it, who has a work ethic, has never gotten jaded, is still very grateful for the people that have helped his career. I think he's a shining example that – it is a team sport based on an individual performance. I think Oscar Valdez has a huge future. Gabe, December 10th, Omaha, Nebraska, HBO. This was supposed to be Canelo, then it was supposed to be Golovkin. It almost went to Bolivian. But we're going to be at Omaha, Nebraska. The 140-pound unified champion, Terrence Crawford, got the date and Top Rank has wrapped up a deal with Johnny Molina. Big story here is, because let's face it, Molina's a very big underdog, but he probably earned this performance by beating Provodnikov. I don't know how much was really out there. But, Gabe, I got to be honest with you. This whole storyline that somehow this is a Camp David agreement between Bob Arum, Top Rank, and Al Haymon, PBC, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I think it's a small step, maybe a significant one, but until these factions start putting together fights where it's more 50-50 instead of 90-10, I don't really buy the storyline quite yet, because one thing we've known this year, Al Haymon will sacrifice a Dominic Wade for a Gennady Golovkin. Molina's not one of his upper-tier fighters, so he'll probably send him off to get beat with a nice payday against Terrence Crawford. But, Gabe, I just don't think we have peace in the Middle East quite yet.
No, I think everybody's speaking business speak. You know, hey, you know, I'm open to working with everybody, you know, but Bob Arum, because Al Haymon doesn't speak to the media. you know, but, yeah, you know, Charles Martin, his belt got sold off, you know, in the U.K., even when you have a belt, you know, you can be a B player with Al. Yeah, this isn't peace in the Middle East. This is just, you know, maybe if I don't believe there's a minimum in the Al Haymon contracts in terms of, you know, the fights that you have to get a year. But, you know, Molina has been a soldier. He's fought pretty often for Al and doesn't care who it is. He just wants to get in there and work. And I'm excited for John. He's done it his way. I've not always agreed with it. I always thought he should be more active to smooth out his edges. But he's got legit power. He's a big, strong, tough guy. If he lands, good things could happen for him. It probably won't. But, I think he can make Terrence Crawford more exciting than Victor Postal did.
Gabe, look at this situation with Donaire, who's been on the record as saying, if I win this fight with Magdaleno, I want the winner of Frampton Santa Cruz who rematch on January 28th. Gabe, if they make a fight like that, Donaire against either Frampton or Santa Cruz, I'll be the first to say, okay, now we're talking. They don't always have to be mega fights, but they have to be fights where you're just not cashing in a chip. You're actually putting a real asset on the line. And
right.
Johnny Molina, as much as I like him, and he's got, I guess, the proverbial puncher's chance or got to get lucky situation, this is not it. So let's hope this is the small step of many other steps leading to, I don't know what you want to call it, boxing glasnost 2016-17. Gabe, the Showtime schedule was rolled out officially last week by the network. We talked about some of the cards last week, like December 10th. Which had been rumored for quite a while. Some of the other fights that were unveiled, January 14th, super middleweight unification, James DeGale takes on Bad Dude Jack. March 4th, Danny Garcia will take on Keith Thurman. According to Steven Espinoza, this could land on CBS. And then also December 10th, Anthony Joshua, who entered into a exclusive long-term deal with the network, he will be on the network this day. Gabe, overall, top to bottom, and also another fight, Adrian Granados, tough, hard-nosed guy out of Chicago, taking on Adrian Broner. I think this is a damn good schedule put together by Showtime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really strong. And when they add the crowning glory of Mayweather-Pacquiao too, I mean, it's going to even increase. I mean, it's just a beautiful landscape. That's being rumored and talked about. That was a joke. That's going to be a terrible fight, just like the first one. Overall, this whole thing, I love DeGale and Jack. I love that there's going to be clarity in that division and within that universe. Garcia-Thurman, toss-up matchup. I'm not sure who wins that fight, and I love boxing like that. I kind of lean towards Danny Garcia. And Frampton and Santa Cruz, for those two guys with so much to risk to do it again and do it immediate, I think that's a better idea for Frampton than it is for Leo Santa Cruz. But overall, just super strong.
You know, it's interesting that a day or two after this announcement was made, the PBC rolled out their 2017 schedule with over 50 dates on various networks. Right now, Steven Espinoza must be thinking to himself, Good luck with the leftovers. I got the main dishes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question of that. I mean, and I think that's why, you know, we were talking about the demise of the PBC, but it seems to me that that universe is going to go on, whether it's called the PBC or if it's just, you know, Espinoza taking orders from Al Heyman and rolling out that product. Plus, you know, we've got the return of Richard Schaefer in here. And so who knows? I'm curious, you know, on a subplot here, do you think Ringstar, like he said in your interview, is he's going to be independent of Al Heyman, even though his first card, he's pretty much showing that he's not
is
independent
Heyman.
Of Al Heyman.
It's
yeah.
all Heyman all the time. Here's what we have to look for. As I like to say, Missouri, show me. Let's see how many other fighters Schaefer works with that aren't under the Al Heyman advisement umbrella. Let's see how many shows he does outside the PBC realm. It's like a politician making campaign promises. Read my lips. No new taxes. Well, you see how that worked out for George Herbert Bush. Schaefer has right now a reputation as of being an Al Heyman supplicant, just like the rest of the quote-unquote sham promoters. What I want to see is how truthful or how vigilant will he be in essence, keeping these campaign promises. Will he reach across the aisle? Will he make the best fights? Will he do shows on his own? Will he develop his own talent? That remains to be seen.
Well, and it's, you know, for all of the people that laud him for the great cards that he developed, and somebody was praising him when he brought Felipe Leon on the was filling in for me on Leaving in the Ring last week, and he was saying, you know, he brought in DeWalt's tools and they had sponsorships that you know that were outside the traditional boundaries. But he also had Oscar De La Hoya. He doesn't have that anymore. And, you know, say what we want about Oscar being kind of a tough client or a tough figurehead to prop up as the head of your company after a while. He had his issues. He's cleaned his act up. And we're
Gabe? All right, Gabe Montoya has cut out on us. This is a regular occurrence here on the Next Round. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. This is episode 603 of the Next Round. Gabe, proceed.
He's just going to spend the rest of his career, panning for that gold again, I think. We'll see. Hopefully he stays on the up and up.
Listen. Everyone knows the personal and professional history of Oscar De La Hoya. He certainly had his issues. However, I do know this. Oscar De La Hoya gets you in the front door of certain places and mm-hmm. certain corporations and certain venues that no other boxing promoter can. It's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. Jerry Jones does not take a lot of meetings unless you're at that Bob Arum, Oscar De La Hoya level. Think about it.
That's
Gabe,
true.
Have any other promoter outside of maybe Tom Loeffler and Golovkin even gotten to the doorstep to knock on the door? I don't think so. So there is a Q rating that exists with De La Hoya because he is still who everyone remembers as the Golden Boy, an iconic figure. Let's go to the Twitter timeline, Gabe. Here's one from the president, and I sent you this earlier. Gary Shaw was an expert, I guess, witness in the whole Golden Boy Al Heyman lawsuit. And I guess here he's on the behalf of Golden Boy Promotions, and the president puts in this big thing, some of the stuff he said. You know, again, is Gary Shaw speaking the truth, or do they just have an axe to grind? It could be both. But here's what I find interesting about Gary Shaw saying what he said about Al Heyman. He does have one notable client in Jose Pedraza that is with Al Heyman and is currently in pugilistic purgatory. And Gary Shaw, for better or worse, say what you want about him, does know the business. I found it incredibly ironic and funny, but not in a ha-ha way, that Kerry Davis is the expert witness for one Al Heyman. Gabe, it's only appropriate.
Well, has an expert witness or advocate been his job all along for Al Heyman?
Only for about 10 years, Gabe. I don't know what you're referring to, but only for about a decade, yes.
Yeah, I guess everybody can have an off decade. Yeah, yeah. That, I just laughed out loud when I saw that. I was just like, wow, he hasn't stopped. And I mean, you know, it's not that Al doesn't get to be in the business too, but we've pointed out for years what the problems are, the imbalance in salaries as opposed to, you know, the risk ratio there. It was just way off. Freddie Hernandez, you know, $900,000 for 9 punches landed by Andre Berto. It's just, yeah, some things never change, I guess.
The day the Heyman tail wagged the HBO dog during the Ross Greenberg, Kerry Davis era, not era, was the beginning of that decline. I said it there. Here's one from Fetch, A. Galvan. What is the word on the curve for the Gennady Golovkin's next fight? Will we get an announcement before Turkey Day? You know, I really don't know. Tom Loeffler told me last week they are still trying to hammer it out. They want to make an agreement, and they would like to fight in late February, early March, preferably against Danny Jacobs. I think the real countdown comes when the WBA resets their date for the purse bid. I think that's when everyone has their fight feet to the fire. It's like, hey, piss or get off the pot. Here's one from Big Drama Show. Guys, the greatest horse race in the world is on today, the Melbourne Cup. Have you got any tips, guys? Yeah, don't gamble. It's a losing proposition. Also, here's one from Robert at Rob Knows. Oh, this was a great scene. Don't know if you saw it, Gabe, but I saw the clip of the vine of it. That's all I need to know. Juanma Lopez, in what I think could be considered a pretty big upset based on where he is in his life, stops Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. in 11 in that Puerto Rican grudge match. But what really set off everything was Juanma basically taunting and then going after Vasquez's corner man, then actually being wobbled on his feet. That is super wepa. So the question is from Robert. Rate for the people Wilfredo Vasquez's corner man's left hook on Juanma. Lol, stuff of legend. It turns out the corner man was more dangerous than Vasquez himself. Jeez.
That was kind of like a pound for pound or style versus style, bare knuckle versus gloved. It was awesome. I don't know what Juanma was doing. They're both suspended, apparently. I'm not sure for exactly how long. But, I mean, honestly, it's the height of unsportsmanlike conduct. But it was pretty funny to watch. I watched it about an hour before we came to air.
I know this is not popular to say. Stuff like that is exactly why I love the beat on Bash Boulevard. Here's a tweet from Orlando Ortiz. I think I'm in the minority, thinking that Molina is a live dog against Bud Crawford. Orlando, you're very much in the minority. How much of a shot you really give him, Gabe?
Not much, you know, because John waits too long and he doesn't jab enough. I mean, this last fight, all of a sudden his boxing acumen showed up. And he's moving a bit and peppering a little bit, using the jab. But he's going to be fighting a guy that's a lot faster that can switch hit. I mean, John has legit power. If he lands, you know, good things can happen. But when you know it's that one weapon, that right hand, you can avoid it all night if you're Bud Crawford.
And there's one from the Haymanites, at @ego_biggest. Till Al Heyman sends an A-lister and not a fringe guy, ain't buying this kumbaya BS. Gabe, neither am I.
Yeah, and you know, I think it benefits Bob. That's why he's doing the job. And, yeah, they're not giving up any. It's not like, you know, Danny Garcia or Thurman's on the table for Pacquiao. Although, I wonder if he'd want them. Well, Freddie wants Garcia, would you say? I think that's pretty honest.
Yeah. 347-215-7598. We are here for at least another hour, going all the way up to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. Gabe, let's get to the phone calls.
323, you're live on the next round.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, what's up?
Snatch.
How'd you like that last episode of Insecure, Steve?
Can I just tell you something? Issa is very talented. I am enjoying this show, and I think it's an absolute winner. It's fresh, it's funny, it's creative, it's not sleazy, and I think it's also very believable.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I found out about her because she had a YouTube show called Diary of an Awkward Black Girl.
Right.
It's a great show. I really like it. Westworld, you know, I'm stuck on that, so we got our TV out the way. How are you doing, Gabe?
I'm good, man. I actually haven't caught up on the latest Westworld. It's, you know, it's kind of the capper to my day, although I'll probably watch it tomorrow because it's Halloween.
Okay.
And I'm going out. But
That's good. Do we have our popcorn ready for tomorrow, Steve? November 1st, deposition day?
You know, let me just say this. There are certain people out there like Paul Gift at MMA Analytics.
Analytics.
Yeah, he is a must-follow in situations like this. The man has a shovel, and he digs.
You know, yeah, I'm looking
real
forward to it. We're going to get some answers. What do you think, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been waiting for this moment, you know. Let's see what comes out of all this, or even if it happens. You know, it could be some 11th hour, you know, legal trick that staves things off. But, we'll see.
So, you know, we got the fight this weekend, guys. I'm expecting Manny to win convincingly. Do I think Vargas can show some signs of life and, you know, maybe catch lightning in a bottle, maybe? But realistically, Steve, Gabe, who does Manny go to after this? I mean, it's obvious.
In his next fight, if it is not, and again, I hope it's not Mayweather. We've been there, done that. I want to see three names in the mix, either Terrence Crawford, or if they're really serious about reaching across the aisle and mending and rebuilding bridges, a Danny Garcia, with, again, timing of it, that's not going to work out. Or somebody like an Adrian Broner. Someone from the opposite side, one of the young, hungry, in their prime, 47-pounders on the other side of the street.
Sean Porter, Andre Berto.
You know what the problem with – no, hold on. Well, okay, Gabe, I'll draw the line. Here's the problem with Porter. He hasn't fought since June.
Well, he's in the PBC. That's the problem with Porter.
Yeah.
But don't you think they can get him at a discount, though, Steve, if it's Porter?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't really care about the bottom line of Bob Arum and Manny Pacquiao. They're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be worrying about throwing me bake sales.
The Gay Montoya Marching and Chowder Society, brought to you by Top Rank Pay-Per-View, you know?
Exactly. I don't even know if I like the matchup of Porter, but something. I mean, Al's got a lot of guys in that range that could make some fights with Manny. But, again, it comes down to what Freddie and Bruce and what Manny thinks, you know, they can actually do. I mean, if you're balking at Terrence Crawford, maybe you're not looking at Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia either.
I think Danny's the weakest one out of those three that Manny would,
everybody thinks,
one, look good against, and two, have a better chance of beating. I don't think he could beat Terrence Crawford at this stage in the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know. You know, I think Manny is going to have to press him, and Crawford is going to have to do more than he did with Postal, I think, to beat Manny. I don't think he's quite as physical as Floyd, but I think it's a little different fight. So I think it's a competitive fight, Crawford and Manny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a style
Crawford,
that you want to look good against, though.
I do think Crawford can't wait late to make his adjustments against Manny, like he normally does, four or five rounds in.
I still am in show me mode with Terrence Crawford too. I mean, he's had a lot of gimme fights and fights that are favorably, you know, he's been favorably matched in a lot of them, with the exception of Postal. That was kind of taking him out of his comfort zone, and he failed to be very exciting. He did win though, so you know, we'll see. I think it's a good matchup. It's
Manny,
like Steve
said, we're all looking,
I want to see Manny in relevant things. I don't need to see showcases.
Exactly. I think we're all looking forward to the Kovalev Ward fight more than this Manny fight, even though the promotion is. Are they promoting that fight? Is that fight still going on?
It's still happening. Last time I checked.
Before I go, Steve, I know you spoke to your buddy Richard. You know, tell him I said hello next time you talk to him. Can I expect you at the?
You know what the funniest part of the conversation was? He said, "You know, Steve, I always respected you, and you know, I see you on Twitter, and I enjoy it, even though you retweet many of the things that Gabriel Montoya says about me." I thought that was funny.
You're still in his head, Gabe. See that?
Yeah, you're still in his head, Gabe. You're living rent-free, man. Rent-free.
Yeah. And he's still not suing me. It's, you know, he
exactly.
threatened me once.
Yeah, what happened to that? Yeah, what happened to that
yeah,
little, court order?
Okay. Well, that went to Bolivian.
Yeah.
Can I expect you at the Galen Center December 10th, please?
You know, I really don't know. I'm going to be coming. You know, listen, Richard Schaefer made it a point to say, Steve, I hope we have no problems. You are always welcome to my fights. And I appreciated that. It's a good card. I like it. There are other things going on that night in terms of boxing. I think I'll be a game time decision.
Okay. I know, because I know we're getting tickets offered through the university discount. So
hey, fight
I mean,
on.
I think I'm going to go to that fight. It's a good card. You know, I finally want to see J-Rock.
Yeah.
You know, I know. Don't get me started on Abner Mars getting cleared. That's a whole – to the Mayo Clinic, they're doing their job over there.
Them again.
But no,
all right, well, Fetch, listen, keep in touch,
for
okay?
Boxing. Yes.
Gabe, you know what I thought was funny, though? And speaking of, before Schaefer called me, it was Wednesday afternoon. I'm at the Extra Studios at Universal waiting to film the podcast with Mario Lopez, and I get this email, and it was from someone at Swanson Communications. Send me a very nice note saying, Steve, did you get the notice of the press conference tomorrow? We just want to make sure that you know about it and let us know if you can go. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is a 180. And there was a time that they were trying to blacklist me and wouldn't even let me know about stuff and keeping me out. Huh. It's interesting how things go. Yeah. Anyway.
Richard Schaefer's a peacemaker, apparently. You know, well, I mean – you know, you're not the only guy that has interviewed him as of late. I've seen him doing the rounds and smiling and doing his thing. But, you know, it is that thing of, like, you know, I was talking about with Al Haymon, that, you know, all we have to go on is his actions. And Richard talks a lot, but you watch his actions, and it's like, well, I'm going to be completely independent. It's like, well, when? Because,
right.
You know, this fight you're not. I don't know. We'll see, you know. Yeah, we'll see. 530, you're live on the next round.
Good evening, Gabe and Steve. It's ringside Rob.
Robbie, what's going on?
Not much, and it's glad to have boxing back in the United States on TV. My God.
Now, Robbie, quick question. Will you be ordering this pay-per-view?
It depends on the price, Steve, and I have not been able to find out what the purchase price is.
It is $60, and I'll be honest with you. I think one of the mistakes Top Rank made in this, and I think it's a very, very bold venture, Gabe, I think given the circumstances and who was fighting as the B-side, I think they would have been much better off going $40 for this one instead of much closer to $60 and $65.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, just this time of year, you know, all of that. But, I mean, it must factor in with Manny's ginormous paycheck.
Well,
yeah, somebody's got to pay his salary.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they rework that contract so the minimum isn't as high as it used to be? Because
yeah, but that minimum is still a pretty good minimum.
Yeah.
It's like, let's put it this way. Not everyone works for minimum wage in boxing. Let's just put it that way.
No, that's true. Because I know he used to get $20 million per fight. I think, if I remember correctly, it's somewhere around 10 or 12 now, right?
I've heard it's 10. And listen, I'm not privy to details, but I would love to see a contract and say, how much has the minimum been diminished? What are the upsides? What are the other clauses that are involved?
Right.
Listen, I give Bob Arum credit. He still has that pioneering renegade spirit. For better or worse, nobody else would even dare try a venture like this by themselves.
No, I do have to give Bob credit. And to answer your question, I probably will purchase the fight because I normally purchase everything when it comes to pay-per-view.
Well, Bob Arum thanks you.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. but I support Oscar. I support Oscar just as much, Steve, so. You know?
Yeah, and you know what? You know where I know the pay-per-view model is changing or struggling or whatever word you want to use post-May 2nd? Bob Arum is no longer shoving Butterbean and Mia St. John and Mike Lee and Yuri Borman down our throats. He's at least trying to give us some real fights on the undercard because for years he gave us absolute Alpo.
Well, for years on pay-per-view, Steve, Don King always did better with pay-per-view than Bob Arum because at least with Don King, he stacked his cards.
Absolutely.
You Yeah.
Revenge, the rematches, Star Spangled Glory. You look at some of those old fight posters, you're like, wow, that all happened on one night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's some pretty impressive stuff. But look, I think Manny's going to win this thing, and I think it's going to be rather easy. And, God, please, I do not want a replay of May 2nd. I know they're talking about that, and everybody, and I do think it's going to probably happen if they really wanted to. But Bud Crawford needs to have that fight. He's the next legitimate person, and I do think that that's a competitive fight. But I need to see more out of Terrence Crawford than what I saw on July 23rd. And December 10th is not going to answer any questions because John Molina was picked for a reason. So keep that in mind, folks. And speaking of Molinas, it looks like Eric Molina is going to be the next victim for Anthony Joshua, Steve.
Yeah, hashtag
Yeah.
But in all fairness, what I was told is that Bryant Jennings was right in the mix, who has not fought since he got stopped by Louis Ortiz. And here's what bothers me about today's fighter. Bryant Jennings, when he decided to leave Russell Peltz in main events, made a decision that he wasn't going to fight that often, just wanted big fights. Then I see him on Twitter, I think it was on Friday, guys, where he's complaining that, oh, they're only giving me 6 weeks' notice. 6 weeks. It's 6 weeks, not 6 days. I'm sorry, beggars cannot be choosers at this level.
Seriously, dude. I mean, and yeah, you should be at a base of conditioning that 6 weeks, no worries, you know, and you can accelerate and really peak out and get ready to go. I mean, and that, and you're making it, like you said, he made the decision to not fight that often.
And
so
Gabe,
have your shit together.
And my understanding is, even before this fight was percolating, he had been saying, oh, I want Joshua. So you're already mentally preparing for it. So it's not like all of a sudden you say to Bryant Jennings or anyone else, how would you fight Anthony Joshua? Would you like that fight? It's not like you say, who is that? Everyone knows who he is.
Well,
yeah.
And realistically, guys, wouldn't Bryant Jennings and Joshua be a complete physical mismatch because the way Joshua...
You mean as opposed to Eric Molina?
Well... At least with Eric Molina, Steve, I got to give the guy credit. When he fought Wilder, he actually showed up and gave 9 good rounds of solid effort. He didn't just lay down, and I do think Molina will do the same thing against Joshua. Jennings is a much smaller heavyweight than Joshua. I think Joshua would just run right over him. Don't you?
You know, I don't disagree, but at least Bryant Jennings, from an American perspective, had been on TV, and there was a familiarity with him that's a little bit deeper than Molina. But again, I don't want to hear Bryant Jennings singing the blues. He did this to himself. Listen, if it's Molina, it's Molina. Eddie Hearn's going to do what he does. But I feel no sympathy for today's fighters who consciously don't stay busy, don't press their management or their promoters, and then want everything on their terms. Sorry,
no,
it doesn't work that way.
Look, I've been following boxing for, 45, 46 years. And it used to be whenever a fighter was called for a fight, he showed up. If you're going to do this for a professional living and get a paycheck, when your phone rings, you accept whatever's offered and go to work. No more.
And Gabe,
yeah.
And guys, I was just thinking about this. Because Anthony Joshua, I think, had his heart set on fighting Klitschko. Doesn't Joshua only have 6 weeks to prepare for Bryant Jennings? Doesn't that go both ways? Or am I nuts? I don't know.
No, you're correct, Steve.
Maybe you checked his Instagram and just like, that guy's super ripped. I'm going to only like 12 weeks.
Robbie, anything else before we let you go here?
Did you enjoy your trip to South Bend, Steve?
Yeah, everything except the end of the game. I'd like a refund on Mark Richt. This is my greatest fear. He's a very, very nice man. He passes out Bibles. I wish he'd pass out a different offensive playbook. But, hey, let's go Canes regardless.
Hey, you've got some wonderful coaches, don't you, Steve, with Mark Richt in Miami and Jeff Fisher in L.A.?
Hold on. That's Gabe, not me. I'm forever orphaned as an NFL fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Anyway, catch you guys next week.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Ringside Robbie. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Later on, we do have some news and notes and the fight preview, Gabe.
So you don't want the Rams throwback with the K-hammer on the back? That's what you're saying?
No.
Forever orphaned.
They died to me in 1994. I'm a hardliner about these things.
I know you were a hard man. I understand. 405, you're live on the next round.
Hello.
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 How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's
doing
going
well.
On?
I'm Santos from Oklahoma.
Hey, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, season has gone to waste, but Boomer Sooner.
I can tell you something about that. Jeez, yeah.
And I want to talk about the Manny Pacquiao fight with Vargas.
All right, first question fast. Are you going to be buying it?
At first I had said no, but I'm kind of tempted to buy it.
Okay, what's
tempting
you?
I'm not a big fan of going to sports bars and watching a fight. I like to just be in my home by myself and watching it.
Yeah, what's tempting you, by the way? Oscar Valdez, is it the Magdaleno Donaire fight, or is it just the fact you'd rather watch it in peace and solitude?
Just watch it in peace. I hate being
okay.
With people and they're just all yelling. And,
I can certainly respect that.
Now, after the fight, yeah, we guys were talking about a fight with Danny Garcia or Crawford. I believe that Bob Arum is going to bring up Crawford from 1 to 147 and just feed him the belt. I think that's what he wants, is for Crawford to get the belt from Pacquiao. That'd be his best option.
Mm.
But, Steve, do you think when Danny Garcia was offered the Pacquiao fight, I'm not sure how legit that was. I'm not sure if it was like $4 to $5 million. Do you think it was Danny Garcia turning down or Al turning down?
You know, I really don't know. And I'm just amazed that young fighters with some ability are not only turning down life-changing money, but you're fighting Manny Pacquiao in 2016, not 2009. I mean, all these guys say we're going to be bigger stars, we want to have a bigger profile, and you turn down fights against Manny Pacquiao. Makes no sense.
Because you know, Floyd said he'd come back and fight Danny Garcia to get that green belt because he's undefeated, but I bet you if Floyd offered him that, he'd take it because he knows he could go 12 rounds with Floyd without getting beat up.
Yeah, again, like I said before, until I see Al Haymon / PBC put some of their real assets on the line, not Dominic Wade or John Molina, but a guy like a Danny Garcia, again, I don't really know if there's peace in the Middle East.
Yeah, and Gabe, I respect your opinion and everything, but I think Thurman blows out Danny Garcia pretty good.
Mmm, whoa.
All right. You think like that overhand right catches him and just gets him?
No, I think Keith Thurman brings more tools to the boxing ring than what Danny Garcia brings. But it'd be a good fight. That's the fight I like.
No, I'm saying, I mean, you think Thurman's right hand will be too much for him and he can knock him out?
I mean, he could, but I think he also outbox him too if he needed to.
Gabe, you know what? This might surprise you. I like Garcia in the fight. Here's the thing about Garcia. I don't think he's nearly as good as his 15 diehard fans think he is, but he's not nearly as bad as all his detractors believe he is either. And say what you want about the Samuel Vargas fight, he is staying active. I just don't like the whole premise that Keith Thurman from January or June 25th will be dormant till March 4th. Give me the guy that's had a little bit of activity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
True.
And one more thing, Steve, I follow you on Instagram and stuff, and I was going to ask you, have you ever seen Julio Cesar Chavez's Instagram page?
People send me links, and it's very, very amusing.
You would think he's the hardest working boxer in the world. Where he, like, every picture he posts up, he's in the... Either training or he's in his home training. You're like, wow, this guy's overtraining.
You know what? You're right. I mean, you follow him for a day or two, and you're thinking to yourself, forget boxing. This guy should be a Navy SEAL. That's the type of condition he's in. Jeez.
I have a question for both of you, and I'll take it off the air. I'm a Cowboys fan, and if you're Jerry Jones, do you bring Romo back in?
Wait a minute. You're telling me it's not Jason Garrett's call? Okay, seriously?
No, it's not Jason Garrett's call.
Let me just say this. You got to go Dak to the future. After last night and the threat that he brings with his legs, which helps out the run game, let me tell you something. If they give this job back to Tony Romo, I'm sorry, you're going to lose that locker room, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
Agreed. You go with a hot hand. It's the passing of the torch, and football will just weed that out naturally. You know, Romo goes in, gets injured immediately. This guy emerges, and the team is doing great around him, and you've got that great running back. Now you stick with the winning formula.
Yeah, they are now what, 7-1? That's an easy call.
6-1.
6-1. Okay, but that's an easy call. The kids played well.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I'd like to trade Romo. If the Eagles were able to get a first round pick from the Vikings, I'm pretty sure they could get something for Romo.
Well, age is a factor. Romo is like that old car with 300,000 miles on it with a bad carburetor. It's a little bit different situation. All right, thank you for the call, and hey, Boomer Sooner. Boomer Sooner. 347-215-7598. Give us your thoughts and tell us, are you purchasing Pacquiao Vargas on pay-per-view, Gabe?
Do you think Romo, one of the guys in our dressing room, Will Rogers, said yesterday, and I kind of agree with this, Romo is the best backup quarterback in the league.
If he's willing to do that. If he's willing to play that role and accept it, which is very, very difficult, I think based on his career and his standing in the locker room, it's very, very interesting. I almost think there's a part of me that says the Cowboy Nation wishes Dak didn't do so well and they have like two or three losses. This kid's lost one game. How do you take him out? I don't see how you can.
I don't even see how you would think about it. 5-1-0, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Gabe, hey, Steve, Fernando over in Richmond, man. Happy Halloween.
All right, so Fernando,
Happy
are you
Halloween.
Pushing that buy button on your cable box Saturday night?
Oh, God, I can't wait to see Zhu Xueming, man. That's why I'm buying the pay-per-view, man. I'm really excited to see him again.
There's no doubt about it. Everything else afterwards is just a walkout bout.
Well, exactly, man. Yeah, Zhu Xueming, man, he's the future. And I am watching it. I'll probably go to the bar down the street, watch it. It's only be like $5-$10 for you to watch it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really
good.
Yeah, that's a cool deal. It's not bad, you know, walking distance from the house. But, yeah, I'm excited. I have one last thing to say, too, for you guys. I was going to go to the Andre Ward fight, but looking at that undercard, well, there isn't one.
Whoa. Maurice Hooker, Darlys Perez, is not boxing Viagra to you?
Maybe if they had the corner man for Vasquez versus
Norman Stone. Bring back Normie. Bring back old Stoney, man.
Then I definitely buy a ticket to Vegas, man. No sweat, man, but. Yeah, I'm not
good
to
news,
win.
Though, guys. I've been told they are not having that concert this time around.
Maybe Yandel, let everyone know that the fans have spoken, and Curtis Stevens versus James De La Rosa will be televised. So stay at home, enjoy the fight. I'm in the same boat. Dave was like, why don't you just come out and you know, we can just chill and watch the fight at my house. I'm thinking, you know, Vegas – the fight. I don't think the fight's going to be good enough for me to want to travel to Vegas for. I want to save it for something that's going to be really good.
By the way, guys, did you watch the HBO special, My Fight, Kovalev Ward? I thought it was outstanding. I thought they really did a good job on that this weekend.
No, it did get me hyped, but they still have that undercard.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest issue is the war is in Ward. But the war isn't in him, man. You know what I mean? Like, war's a part of his last name, but it ain't in Ward actually himself, man.
Yeah.
I mean, don't stink out the joke. You know, when they had Ustinov and versus King Kong, that's what really got me excited. I was like, well, at least that's gonna be a good big knockout, and I'll be excited about that no matter what happens in the main event. But they took that fight off the undercard even too, so it was like, nah, I don't know, it's just not worth it. But
anyway,
thank you for taking my phone call, man. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you very much, Fernando. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
323. It's Dave the Mailman. You're live on the next round. 323?
Hello, guys?
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Welcome aboard.
I'm in a dog area. Sorry, guys.
No problem.
I'll pick you up another time. 805, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
this is Nacho.
Yes.
So, Nacho, yay or nay, are you purchasing the pay-per-view or are you watching it by other means?
I will take option B.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
It's just not enough of a compelling card, in my opinion, to warrant $60.
No,
like
wait a minute.
Other caller.
Magdaleno Donaire and Oscar Valdez, they don't pique your interest at all.
Valdez is that's kind of a walkover to me. I think he's beating this nondescript Japanese guy, so that's not really anything you get excited for. And Magdaleno, a couple of years ago I was really high on him. Now I'm not so sure. I don't think he's gotten much better in the last couple of years. Maybe it's the weight issues. Maybe it's just the fact that he hasn't been fighting very much recently. But to be honest, I'm not really all that thrilled. If he does win that fight, I'd be very surprised.
Okay. Question is, how much is left in the tank of the Filipino Flash? I think that's the real intrigue. It's not that Magdaleno has lived up to the hype. Sometimes it's about the veteran. How much backwards have they gone physically?
Yeah, exactly. Considering that it's a small weight class and Donaire is going to be 34, I mean, that does say a lot as to how much he really does have left. But I would think he'd have a lot left considering he doesn't fight very often. So it's not like he's...
Nacho, do any of them nowadays? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, he's been on a decent
true.
Streak in terms of he fought three times last year and then he's fought once this year. So...
Yeah.
I think it's enough that it's a little rebuilding streak for him. I think Donaire's not done yet, you know.
Yeah, this isn't Lamont Peterson here. Let's not go completely crazy on that.
I didn't say he went into witness protection, Steve.
Donaire has the benefit of being a PBC fighter, you know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
He's got to work hard, apparently.
I don't know if you guys saw or if you guys have heard. Did you see how Juanma knocked out Vasquez and then went after his trainer? That
yeah,
was insane.
So basically on Saturday night, could you say that he went 1-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he did.
I think he took a loss in that. Yeah.
Oh,
that
geez.
Second fight did him no favors because he took a couple of really good shots from that trainer.
Yeah, that shot
yeah.
got him. Jeez.
Yeah, maybe
yeah,
I'm not as mad at you as I was thinking, you know. He just gets out of there.
That was... That was pretty good. So then it has been confirmed that Crawford is going to fight Molina December 10th on HBO?
Signed, sealed, and delivered, and I do believe HBO and Top Rank are working on a co-feature for the night.
Oh, okay. I kind of figured because I had been hearing the rumors about that fight, but I wasn't sure. And apparently Molina is going to fight Joshua from what someone
yeah,
said earlier?
Yeah, it looks like that's going to happen.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Continue
I was kind of hoping for
Montoya.
Either. I was kind of hoping for Jennings or Stavern instead, but like you said, Steve, most of these guys apparently they want all the cards to, you know, lay out for them. They don't ever want to just take something where they're the underdog, apparently. So,
yeah,
that's disappointing. And as far as the main event for this card this weekend, I think Manny. Ends up stopping him late. I say he stops him in 11.
Okay.
So,
Nacho, you are on the record.
All right. Thanks. All right, guys.
All right, man.
Gabe, who's next?
909. You're live on the next round. 909.
Hello?
All right. 786.
Or not.
You're live on the next round.
Hello?
786.
Yes,
hey,
who is
hey, how's it going? How's it going, Steve? How's it going, Gabe?
What's
good.
Up?
What's going on?
Not much, man. It's Chris from Miami. Steve, I just got to say, brother, the Canes. The Canes are...
the
I
tropical
cannot,
depression.
I cannot,
the tropical depression.
I cannot take that team seriously until they take care of the ACC. They're not bad.
Well, the bottom line is this. Mark Richt, the head coach, needs to fire Mark Richt, the offensive coordinator. Okay? I'm sorry. His offense is a VCR in the DVD world. I can't take it.
I do see that. I get frustrated, and like I feel bad for the kid, Kaya, man, because he's going to have to stay another year if he even wants to sniff being
a
backup
quarterback. Can his body take that? Jeez.
I don't think so. Well, calling about boxing. Sorry about that. You know,
all right, quick question. Are you buying the pay-per-view this weekend?
I am not. I mean, maybe I'm probably chipping with some friends, but let me tell you, man, this Facebook Live is the best invention for boxing fans. I watched the Wilma fight on Facebook Live, and I'm watching it with 40,000 other people, boxing fans, and I'm just watching the fight on Facebook Live. Why pay $70 while you're watching it on my phone?
Very interesting.
I mean, maybe. I mean, there's a big difference between Wilma fight, little fight in Puerto Rico, and Manny and Vargas could be, like, different things. I doubt somebody posted it. They might get sued or something, or Aaron, because Aaron is, like, the most crooked promoter ever. But I really like. I think Vargas is gonna beat Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao's gonna show his age.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry to say, but this is not the same kid that we saw with Mayweather Promotions. He's been in a nice little mean streak lately. And,
you're on the record. You got Vargas.
Yep, no.
Hashtag
I'm in, the, I'm in the record. I'm in the record because you know this kid Vargas. In the beginning, and when he was fighting under Mayweather on the card, you know, I said he's got good boxing skill. He's lacking power, but I mean, maybe it's something I'm missing. Maybe it's because he's with Memo, but he's been sitting down his punches, and I like how the kid punches, and he's been on a nice little mean streak lately, and I think Pacquiao's going to show his age, and I see Vargas outworking him, the bigger Vargas outworking the smaller Pacquiao.
Wow. You know what, Gabe? If that happens, it would not be the worst thing in the world. What have I been stressing for 2 years? We need new blood.
Exactly.
Out with the old, in with the new.
That's what I was gonna ask the same thing. You know, I just can't wait. I love Cotto and I love Pacquiao and I love Mayweather. You know, but their time is gone. Like they're stalling the sport. And Pacquiao, I mean, it's sad, man, that he's still fighting at this point. And Aram is still making these fights. And the fight that everybody wanted to see this year was Crawford and Pacquiao. Instead, we got Crawford against John Molina, another guy that doesn't want to die. I guess. What Aram is doing is getting all the PBC flunkies, and then he's putting him with his guys, and then they're just doing the robin. You know, they're just doing.
Well, with all fairness, though, Molina just came off a pretty big, significant victory over Provodnikov.
I don't know, man. Ruslan's pretty. You know, that fight between him and Lucas really took both out of both fighters. I really wish that fight never happened.
I don't disagree. Don't disagree.
I wish that fight never happened, man. I mean,
well, let's not go that far. Let's not go that far.
Yeah,
I was there. I'm glad it happened.
Steve, what do you think about this? What do you think about two fights that are, to me, the mega fights? Ward and Korolev. How do you see that finishing?
I think it's going to be a tense chess match. Don't think it's going to be a great fight, but I think it'll be the type of fight while it's happening, you'll be enthralled by it, but you won't necessarily be excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fight that's really going to be that a boxing technician fans are going to be arguing with boxing punchers, and they're going to be like, this guy should have 175. This guy was an aggressor. This guy, Green Generalship. I think that fight, Gabe, since you're in the Bay Area, have you seen anything from Ward lately? Is he bigger? Is he sitting down his punches more?
The one time I did see him recently, which was a few months ago, he seemed bigger to me. I don't think he's people thinking he's a fragile, like, you know, super middleweight or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's going to be a
big, strong dude.
I don't
think that's the case.
I think him and
Cole are probably going to be the same size coming in because
– he's
correct
like
me
he's
if I'm wrong,
taller,
but he was a light heavyweight, right? Before that.
At 178 as an amateur.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
that's
yeah,
how he
man,
won his gold, you know. I think he's comfortable with the weight. It could either be like a new Jack and hopefully a little bit better – Trinidad De La Hoya kind of a fight. But I think more of a Trinidad Hopkins kind of a fight if Ward wants to try to make
it
a statement.
It can go either way. Like Steve said, it can go either way. And then the last question, the fight that I really look forward to is the Lomachenko-Walters. I wish Walters had a had at least, you know, a fight. But he's been coming off, I think, of what, a year and a half layoff after
he has not fought since December when
that,
he got
that
dubious draw against Jason Sosa.
I like that. I like Walters, man. You know, like I remember I saw an interview after the Donaire fight, and the guy is he's a boxer, and he, you know, I hope. The thing is, I think he had trouble with Aram and stuff, and he tried to get into that PBC junk and mumbo jumbo, and that hurt his career. And I think Lomachenko, I won't be surprised if Lomachenko stops him late.
I tend to agree with you. I think Lomachenko's foot speed and his mobility, I think, are going to be key factors.
I've seen Darchinian and Donaire buzz Walters, I can see Lomachenko being a technical guy and landing a cleaner shot and probably dropping Walters a couple times and leading into a TKO. But thanks for taking my call, Steve. Gabe, take care, man, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, man.
Trick or treat.
All right.
347-215-7598. 1 hour down. At least 25 minutes to go here on the next round with Gabe Montoya and Steve Kim. Gabe?
I was thinking about going as an Andre Ward fight. It's always terrifying, at least in its ability to bore you. Couldn't figure out how to do it, though. 909. I'm going to try again because it's a new number. 909?
Hello?
Yo.
Hello.
Hey, honey, it's Mario. How you doing?
Mario, welcome aboard.
My question is, coming up on the new season of PBC, quote-unquote, do you think they'll start making more of the fights that we actually want to see? And are you actually more competitive fights, or is it just kind of like a, hey, here's a bone, and keep watching that?
Well, if you're Showtime, you think, hey, this is a pretty good deal here. We're getting bang for our buck, given the fact they are the one network really paying substantial money. But again, I don't know. They don't consult with us. Let's just judge them by their actions.
Okay, that's all I had.
All right, thank you very much. Gabe, who's next?
Fair enough. Blocked number, you're live on the next round. Hello?
Hello? Or not.
All right. Or not. 510, you're live on the next round. 510. I'm burning through them. 626, you're live on the next round. 626.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good. So, Steve, are you going to the Pacquiao fight or no?
No, I'm going to be traveling so much starting from the week after that I just decided I'm going to sit this one out.
I feel it's going to end early. I think Pacquiao's going to knock him out inside six rounds. It's going to play out like the Chris Algieri fight. And Vargas is going to be on his back foot, you know, running around the ring. Things at this time, Pacquiao will definitely close the show within six rounds.
You are on the record now. Are you purchasing this pay-per-view?
I'm actually going to the fight.
Okay. Fair enough.
Going to the fight. Do you have any idea about the weigh-in, where it will be the weigh-in?
It'll be the day before somewhere. They'll announce it. They'll just go to Fight News, and they usually post up the information.
Also, I had a question. If post-fight interview, you know, Stephen A. Smith is going to interview Pacquiao, should Pacquiao, you know, call out Floyd? Because he's going to, you know, bring up the question for sure.
You know, that's a question for Manny Pacquiao. I don't know. I mean, he'll probably give his usual answer, non-answer. And I'll, you know.
This is the thing. You know, I like Pacquiao as a fighter, but I just don't like, you know, the way he gives answers to reporters. Like, it makes no sense. He acts like completely dumb.
Like, you mean he acts like dumb. A politician?
Yeah, too much politician. He never, you know, clearly gives you an answer, even if you say something.
Well, no, no matter what you ask him about who he fights next, it's going to be a version of this. I don't really know. I want to talk to my promoter, Bob Arum, and I want to talk to my people, and I don't really know, but I'm going to talk to my team. That's what you're going to get. That's what you've gotten for about, what, 15 years?
Yeah, that's I think so. That has probably brought his pay-per-view numbers down because he's not too talkative. Because he is a much, much better fighter, most exciting fighter still in probably the 40-47 division, but he doesn't talk, and, you know, that's the good thing about Mayweather. He talked a lot and he sold a lot.
I don't know.
Yeah, the
though.
Only problem are his fights.
Yeah, but yeah.
You
but
know?
When Pacquiao talks, I mean, he's got himself into some trouble talking about religious and political issues. He got him banned from
but
the Grove.
Had he been more vocal
got him kicked
about
off of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
You know, like
been more vocal.
Yeah.
If I'm Manny Pacquiao's publicist, I kind of want him to talk less and fight more.
You know,
more.
I don't know. I really don't like gay people. You know, I think they should be murdered and fed to the dogs. You know, yeah, that doesn't really play well here.
Yeah,
and
well,
also,
I mean,
Crawford Pacquiao. I feel Pacquiao can, you know, still win that fight even at this stage because, you know, I saw the Gamboa fight recently, like in highlights on YouTube. Gamboa is like a 130 pounder, and he was able to hurt him like with a right hand. Pacquiao can really punch still. Look at the last fight, Tim Bradley, he was down twice. So I feel maybe that's the reason, you know, Top Rank doesn't want to risk Crawford at this stage with Pacquiao, because I feel Pacquiao can still beat him.
Well, let's hope we see it next year. Thank you for the call. Gabe, here's a tweet from Evan Young, who kind of echoes what I think. Always love Manny Pacquiao, but these fights, while okay, is not must-see TV. He can still fight, but the luster is long gone. I'm not going to lie to you, Gabe. I'm actually surprised that you still really look forward to Manny Pacquiao fights as much as you do.
Yeah, well,
never knew that.
Yeah, I like Manny. I mean, he's you know, and I like aging champions that find ways to, you know, to win or to compete. He hasn't. I mean, Maypac was a shitty fight, but what's the common denominator in the last few of shitty fights of Floyd Mayweather's, which was pretty much like
TBE,
you know, everything.
Yeah. TBE.
So I don't hold
the
that fight against Manny because he generally it's great. The best enhancers. You know, they,
oh, stop the hatering! Stop the hatering!
Yeah, I mean, and I think, like you said, if you know, if Jesse wins, the caller, a couple callers ago brought it up, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Jesse is a hard worker. I would hope it's not Memo's doing this newfound power, but he stopped a chinny guy in Saddam Ali, made him pay for it, and fought very well doing it. He's got a bigger problem with Manny Pacquiao, but like I said, I think it's going to be a good fight, and particularly because of the matchup, I think it's going to be an action fight. Let's
here's
go back
a tweet.
To the line.
Well, hold on. Here's a tweet from A. Flores. Victor Ortiz versus Bam Bam Rios called each other out today. Any interest? You know what? Get the three rings. Get the big tent. Bring that circus to town. Yes.
Sign me up. Where do you do it? The Home Depot Center?
No, Garden City. Clear out some space at the Walmart. Put some bleachers on. The Garden City Grudge Match. Rios Ortiz.
Wow. Done deal. I'm in. Yeah, put it on Facebook Live. Country code 005. You're live on the next one. Wow.
Okay, that's very busy there. Very, very busy call.
I tuned into the Mad Max channel, apparently. 111, you're live on the next round. Blocked caller? What do you call it? A blocked number? It's like, all right. Well, 787, you're live on the next round. 787.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. I know who this is. Javier.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Happy Halloween, man.
Yeah. Same to you. You guys haven't guys the pro basket, won my comedy, WWE slash boxing fight?
Yeah, we talked about it. It was what it was.
Yeah. You know, it sold 8,000 tickets here in Puerto Rico, so there was still a market for it. So the bottom line is I didn't win because I went afraid for my security. To be quite honest with you guys.
Wow.
You know, the funny thing was that for all he talked, well, Phil Vasquez was the actual voice of reason after the fight ended. Because if not...
What choice did he have? He got humbled. Jeez.
But when he started to fight with the manager, WWE can take a page of how to promote a fight. it was kind of amazing to see. It was kind of sad because I know what it was, but it has been building so many times. It's like Rios, in a sense, it's like Rios Ortiz. They are no longer what at their prime there was, but don't you want to see both guys really hit each other?
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I don't know where this goes from here. The scary part is this will probably encourage Juanma to continue this career.
Actually, it probably will. They are talking about doing a rematch with Jonathan Oquendo, who he fought when he was a real prospect. I don't know what that really accomplished, but in a sense, I've been critical of Juanma at times, but I do believe hopefully he doesn't fight again. But I believe because of the comments he made, and he brought it down on himself, I believe people turn on him pretty quickly after the Salido fight. And what people don't remember is the first two fights with Salido were a hell of a war, both of them. It was losing to a better fighter, but both of them were a hell of a war. And I believe he doesn't, because he lost those fights, he doesn't get enough credit for how good those fights really were.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, I think people do kind of shit on Juanma a little bit. I mean, he gave to the game. He didn't come to full fruition. And I think ultimately he's just kind of chinny and fragile. Do you think he should fight on? Did you see enough in this fight that you think
he's
competitive?
No, I don't. I really thought Baxter blew the fight, to be quite honest with you. I thought he was winning the fight early, and once he got hit, in the fifth round, something in his mind went, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But I, to be quite honest with you guys, he surprised me that Juanma can win a late fight. I thought that if the fight goes long, it will favor Vasquez. But something, with Joe Vasquez's better performance of his career, in my opinion, was the night he fought so bad. That's the day he fought like a good champion, and that. But even the Sansana fight, remember, Sansana was coming up two weights, coming to Puerto Rico. The fight was here in Bayamon. He had everything against him. But to be quite honest with you, I would like both of them to retire. I think they needed both to get this closure. It's like at the end, I would have loved to see Juan Manuel Marquez and Eric Morales fight just for the hell of it, even though Morales wasn't what he once was. But now that they have finished it, I don't see the point of continuing.
I don't disagree. Anything else?
Well, one more thing, guys. Do you remember who was the guy? I know it was a long time ago, but did somebody drop on the ward early in his career?
Yeah, Darnell Boone did, and then Kenny Cost in his second pro fight basically had him out on his feet. It was a sports show.
Because I remember I was watching some video of the Kovalev ward fight, some video of the fights leading up, and I remember I couldn't fight the fight, but I remember someone had it out on his feet and say, you know, he's a better fighter, and that and sometimes that happens, you get caught with a good shot. But neither of those guys call us. So it should be interesting. I know I get to believe, if you ask me who I prefer, I think Warren lost some of his prime fighting with Dan Goosen. So I'm going with Kovalev in a couple of weeks.
Okay, you are on the record. Thank you very much. 347-215-7598. And Gabe, I got to be honest with you. I kind of get Vasquez Lopez happening, Puerto Rican grudge match, and either guy's good enough to hurt each other. But good grief, can we end it? Can sanity prevail at all?
Yeah, Yeah, probably not. It's boxing, so you know it doesn't. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact of the matter that no, it'll as long as you keep winning, you can keep going. So it is what it is. 516, you're live on the next round.
Hey guys, Evan in Vegas. How you doing?
Evan,
hey,
Mr. Korn, what's going on?
Hey man, I didn't watch the Wama fight this weekend. Although I think now Wama Lopez is the boxing poster child for CTE after that.
Jeez, yeah.
And I'm not saying that even. I know it came out as sort of a joke, but you know, with all the beatings he took, just because he won the fight doesn't mean he's back in business. So enough about what's going on in boxing now, because there's not much. I've been thinking about Bernard Hopkins' career lately, and how he didn't get his big break, his big opportunity to show his greatness until he was 36. I think about Golovkin, who was about 30, 31 before he got American exposure. So my question for you, Steve, is who is a guy, and I'm not talking about a Frankie Gomez who ate his career into the crapper, but who's a guy that you think had the ability to be a potentially great Hall of Fame-level fighter who, you know, the politics of boxing or who just bad management or bad promoting held him back and we never got the opportunity to see their greatness?
Very good question. Because even guys like Winky Wright still got to face Trinidad and made a lot of money. Mark Tushar Johnson, unfortunately, never really got that fight in his prime. He comes to mind. Could you say Rigondeaux, guys, as everyone groans listening to this show? Rigondeaux, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's going to pass him by. His career-defining fight is Donaire. And it's shutting out a guy, and it's a boring fight. You didn't really get to make that statement that Hopkins had a mean streak, and he's very patient. I think maybe being incarcerated gave him that kind of understanding of the long game. He was waiting for a Tito to come along and watching those two guys fight it out and move up, and he was licking his chops, staying in shape, you know? That's why I wonder about Andre Ward versus Kovalev, if that's what Ward has been doing, is kind of playing a long game and waiting for someone to emerge in the American market that he could feast on.
I mean, going way back, and again, this is a different era where there was racism. He had to be with the mob. If you didn't play ball, you didn't get in the game. You know, Charlie
sure.
Burley. But,
yeah.
You know, that's the names that I mentioned, I'd be pretty comfortable just going off the top of my head.
I mean, Too Sharp, he did get some opportunities at HBO. I know at the latter end of his career, it seemed like HBO was almost trying to make up for it at the end of Too Sharp's career when he had the Montiel fight, I believe, and a couple others.
Marquez. But he was really, you know what, at 115 and 118, he was a little bit past his best. Where he really was a transcendent talent that I was lucky enough to see was really at 112 pounds as a flyweight during his days at the Forum. He was spectacular.
And last question, just to piggyback on that, is there a guy out there now? Is there a Golovkin out there hidden away in Russia or hidden away in Germany or hidden away right now that you think can be that guy given the proper opportunity?
Murat Gassiev comes to mind, the young cruiserweight, maybe.
A representation of the rest of what's going on in boxing right now. So that's all I had. I won't be at the Thomas and WAC this week for the Pacquiao fight. But
okay, but Evan,
I will. Yeah.
How will you be watching it then?
Either I don't know, Steve. I have a transistor radio in the Dustin in my closet.
Break out the old Radio Shack.
I have to go get it tuned up. But I know you got other calls
on
the line, guys. A great show as always, Steve. I'll see you out for Cove Love War, buddy.
Indeed. Evan Korn, everybody. Gabe, let's keep knocking down these calls.
All right, then. 978, Jimmy's Corner. You're live on the next round.
Hey guys, what's going on, man? How you doing,
Jimmy?
Hey, Steve,
quick question: yay or nay?
Yeah.
Are you buying the pay-per-view?
Oh God, no, nay, absolutely.
That was a quick answer.
No way, not even a consideration. Listen,
okay.
I know that's what he pulled last year. Either his shoulder was injured, he shouldn't have fought, right?
Agreed.
Or he should have fucking left it all in the ring. The fact that he, I mean, listen, this is, I mean, a guy we talk about being in a breath of a warrior, a fighter. That was not a warrior's performance. To be paid money that would just, you know what I mean, could feed a third world nation for a month and to fucking mail it in. Never mind the stain, like every one of these fucking pay-per-views coming up are going to do horrible numbers, and it's all the fucking stank of Maypac still lingering in the air. So you know what, buddy? You shit on the sport, so I'm just done. And plus, you know what, Vargas, no disrespect to him. I like the kid. I think he has heart. He comes to fight, you know, all the right things. But it's Vargas. If he was fighting Crawford, or if he was like, hey, I'll make it up. I did shit in the fucking, you know, turn the bunt. Punch ball with Maypac, but I'm going to fucking, let's do it now. Listen, my shoulder's fine. Let's do this. To me, it is exactly what it is. Bob, you owe me those last two fights, you motherfucker, and I'm cashing in because you made a lot of money off me. And that's all this is. So what, you know what, dude? Fine, get your money, but hey, it's your legacy. So that's my feelings on Pacquiao. What was the other thing you were talking about? Oh, I was going to say, Steve, congratulations on the Ring TV 5 with Dougie, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. That was kind of a tough one. Hopefully it'll be more regular, but it was kind of like a flashback to 2004 for me and Douglas there.
Yeah, no, it's that's
pretty awesome.
Man. Yeah, no, and you hit on something, too. It's weird because, you know, like D-Hop now in his later years, he's become that different type of fighter, like almost an award type tie you up, using the inside. It took me a long time to get used to that D-Hop because I remember when he was a fucking devastating knockout artist. You know what
people
I mean?
People forget that he scored a lot of, like, highlight reel knockouts as a middleweight. This he wasn't always this guy, you know?
Exactly. No, absolutely.
Like,
when
somebody described
guy,
him, he was like a predator early on, and then he kind of, after a while, became more of a vulture, you know? He would be seek and destroy, and then later on it was like just pick and poke and just slowly break you down or dominate you, take away your weapons. He's just a true master.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Oh, guys, real quickly, now, without a doubt, right, hey, Ward, Kovalev is by far the biggest fight for the hardcore fan of the year, right? No doubt about it. Now, Jay-Z, I know this for a fact, is one of the biggest music promoters in the world. He's married to Beyonce. What would it have taken to fly Ward out and Kovalev out to a show, or maybe one of the shows he's doing around the world? Get him on stage, get the young people out there, give it a quick breakdown, explain the significance of this fight, because it is a huge, this is for, you know, if anybody's into that, the pound for pound type of bullshit. Two guys at this level, it's just so, beyond me that this fight has not been promoted. It is just, it goes, if this isn't been the nail in the coffin of that joke promotion, what would be, what fighter?
You know what's interesting, guys?
Yeah.
Today, I believe, was the open workout in Hayward, California, and I'm sure the media is going to flock to see Andre Ward. And then tomorrow in Oxnard, I'll be going to this, is the open media workout for Sergey Kovalev. You know what else they're doing? Nothing. Last I checked, are any of these guys Mayweather, Canelo, or Pacquiao? Again, it's your money on the line, not mine.
That's strange to me. You know, surprisingly, I didn't get an invite to the open workout today, but it's my day off. I wasn't going to spend it that way. But that's crazy to me that they aren't. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Jimmy, you're not wrong at all. I mean, how is this not? Is there a constant promotion? Like, you know, why doesn't dude like go on a tour? You know, it could be three or four city tour.
He's got all that
promoting the fight across the country, and yeah, grabbing those dollars at the end of the year.
He's got all those.
I don't understand.
Yeah, he's got all those venues in place. He's got all the connections in place. Hang a sign up wherever you're promoting them. You know what I mean? Just get some buzz. You know, it's another opportunity missed, and the only saving grace is probably not going to be an exciting fight, but I don't know. I just feel it's just another Rock Nation. But listen, guys, it's Halloween. You guys have a great night. Gabe, congratulations, man. Saw the write-up in the New Yorker. That's awesome. Good for you, brother.
Yeah, cut out there, but
we gave you your props. New Yorker, Gabe. You're going places.
He did. Yeah, well, yeah, it was pretty sweet. You know, a lot of the coverage, man. We have New York Times, Newsweek. It was going to be a while It's still in awe of the whole thing. But anyway, 647, you're live on the next round. 647?
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Or not.
Or not. Let's see. We might have cleared the board here, Steve. I mean, what game is on tonight?
Well, not a big one, but I think this is interesting, Gabe. On a week where we finally have world-class boxing return on an upper-level scale, and then a Pacquiao fight, now we don't have full phone lines like we usually do 90 minutes in.
Well,
I think that's telling, don't you?
I do, too. And I think it was also the it might have been the his last fight, the Tim Bradley fight, that it was kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a big buzz. Like, it wasn't a lot of guys dying to get their pick in, because when you already know who's supposed to win, you know, yeah, I think there's a lot of people doing that.
Let's go to the news and notes and fight preview. Gabe.
Yeah.
Showbox, Tereshella Stuck takes on Jamie Herrera. A lot of prospects there with Artie Palullo will be in action Friday. Ring TV in Australia, Manuel Tino Avila takes on Jose Ramirez from the Belasco Theater. Prospects Emiliano Sanchez. And keep an eye on this kid, guys. Louis Coria. He has a lethal, I mean lethal left hook. I saw his pro debut. And again, a lot of that is slow pitch softball. But I think this kid has a shot. And then on Una Moss, Gabe, in Las Vegas the night before from Top Rank, the big fight, I think this is a hell of an Una Moss Telefutura main event. Casey Ramos takes on Andy Vences.
I love this fight. I think it's going to be arguably fight of the weekend. It's just a crossroads bout in the extreme in that, you know, it's two young guys. Who's gonna move forward? And who's going to move backwards, you know, or, you know, have to rebuild. I like Andy Vences, man. He's a really strong kid, works really hard, always in the gym, and all in multiple gyms all through, you know, from Snack Gym through different gyms in the Central Valley, looking for that hard work. I'm leaning towards him in this fight. I think he's a volume kid. I like his footwork. He sometimes can square up, though, and leave himself open. And you know, so Ramos could take advantage of that. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going to shade Andy Vences, but again, I have no real strong feeling on it either way. Also on the semi-main to begin this broadcast on Friday night, Alex Salcedo takes on Ray Serrano. Gabe, Alex Salcedo has spent this camp up at the summit of Big Bear with Abel Sanchez and that whole system. I want to see, and again, it's going to take a few fights. It's never an overnight process. But I'm much more curious about this career now than I was before. I want to see, does that system, does that atmosphere translate to Alex Salcedo?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think moving up there, it shows a certain commitment to your career, right? It's a completely different direction. And, you know, is he going to blend into that team environment and buy into what they've really got going? I'm very curious. But like you said, it's going to take 2-3 fights to really see the results.
And Gabe, there's a lot of talk about the Demetrius Andre Jack Kolkai fight, which was for the WBA 54-pound title, that Andre didn't sign the contract, that he's out of the fight. I don't think that's the case. There's much more to this story than what I'm being told. I think there's a case that it might be Kolkai ducking out of the fight, and I think we'll see a situation where there will be a title fight, and it may not involve Kolkai. As they say, stay tuned for details. And Gabe, I love this tweet from Evan Young. My wife just came back with my son from trick-or-treating and told me to shut it down, our show, when she heard Jimmy's F-bombs. LOL. F-bombs stay, man.
That.
It's part of his charm. It's like Bobby Knight or Mike Leach.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind meeting up with if Jimmy was in Vegas for the fight. It might pull me into Kovalev Ward.
Did you hear that, Jimmy? Jimmy,
you know,
are you out there? Did you listen to that?
yeah, like I said, I'm gonna give these block caller numbers another shot. But you're live on the next round, if you choose to be. Other than that, Steve, I think it's Monday Night Football time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's that Titanic matchup where we get to see the Bad News Bears against the Vikings.
Yeah, that's gonna be brutal. I think it's going to be a one-sided slugfest. We'll see. the Vikings have my their defense, so hopefully they're able to score some points. Let's go with another one. The second block, you're live on the next round. Anything? Or not?
Bueller?
Steve, Bueller? You have cleared the board.
Okay. And here's I'm looking for this tweet from Ed Anderson. He tweeted at us basically saying, Joshua Molina, that's a fight you guys will travel over for, right? No. That's all I can say. Boy, that is interesting, Gabe. I thought with Darktober being over, I don't know what this really says. It could mean that people have other things to do. No, you know what? It's Halloween, though, Gabe. Let's not forget that.
Oh, that's true.
I'd much rather get free Snickers and Mars bars than listen to us. I can't blame the audience. If someone's handing out free candy, I would be there, too. Let's not lie.
Apparently, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm going to a party after this, so I got to get, my costume's pretty simple, though. 209,
okay.
You're live on the next round.
Hello. Yes.
20.
Yes. Hello, guys. This is Trini.
Oh, Trini. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I had a question. How is Richard Schaefer going to do it with the PBC been giving all these free tickets? Now, how is he going to turn that around?
That's a great question. That is a toxic asset. Gabe, it's going to be interesting. And obviously, Jim Boone can tell us more about this in the upcoming weeks. They have some good shows coming up. But I do think, again, fans are fickle, but they're also not stupid. And they realize right now at this stage, based on past history, guys, why would anyone pay for a PBC ticket?
Exactly. That's what I've been thinking. Why am I going to pay when they were giving it for free?
For free!
Bunch of them.
Okay.
Yeah, and now Showtime is paying for these cards. They're not free no more.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good point. And factual.
Yeah.
Well, at the very least, now that they're charging, the fights are a little bit better,
Yeah. But that's what I'm intrigued at, how they're going to change the mindset of all these people that went to all these cards for free, now that Showtime is paying for them. So they're gonna have to take a hit no matter what. I don't think people's gonna buy them.
That's a very good point. I mean, go back.
Yeah.
Everything was about free, about terrestrial TV, and
Yeah. So see what comes out.
Now, Trini, where do you reside?
I'm Stockton. I'm like 45 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Would you buy a ticket to any of these PBC shows? Or do you have any plans to?
I would sue them if they try to give me one.
Jeez, you literally can't give them away, huh? Wow.
No, I don't want none. Their car sucks, I don't even watch them.
Now, Trini, Saturday night, are you buying the top-ranked pay-per-view?
Nah, I already got my Twitter tuned up for it. I'd rather read it through you guys than I'll watch it and spend $60. That's
okay, so
I
your main event is LSU Alabama. Okay, understood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got my radio ready too, so either way.
Okay. Brought out the Sony. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, Trini, thank you for the call.
No, thank you guys.
Thanks,
have a good weekend.
All right.
You guys have a good
happy holidays.
Anything else, Gabe? We have anyone else on the line?
We do. Heading overseas, 642. It might be easy yet, I'm not sure. 642.
No, it's big drama show in New Zealand.
Oh,
guys,
big drama show. What's going on?
Hey, listen,
man.
I was actually, guys, I was actually waiting for someone to bring up a fight that happened last weekend and what happened, but no one brought it up, so I'm bringing it up. The boxer versus the trainer.
Oh, no, we talked about it. That was Juanma Lopez getting drilled by Vasquez's quarterman with the check hook. Not a good look.
But what happened? But what was the story? Like the story before and after also?
Well, they just hated each other. It was a very, very contentious rivalry. It's been brewing for years, and that's what happened.
Wow. It was funny. It was funny on Twitter and all that. That's why I brought it up. Another thing, guys, what's the go with Golovkin? Is he going to fight January or February, or is he going to, like, wait for Jacobs to
well,
to
say
he wants the fight.
Listen, they're trying to make the Jacobs fight. My understanding is that they do have a date reserved at the Garden for, I think, late February. So that's the latest.
Right, gotcha. No worries. All right, thanks, guys.
No problem. Gabe, anything else?
No, that is it. We have cleared the board.
All right, and here's a Jimmy DiMarino, Jimmy's Corner, tweeted back. I missed what Gabe said. And, Evan, tell your wife I'm sorry. You know what? Fuck that. Don't be sorry. Just saying. Anyway, want to wish everyone out there safe trick-or-treating out there on Halloween night. So on behalf of Gabriel Montoya and the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network of Dave Duenas, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round, goodbye, everybody.